Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, rap battle.
There was a rap battle.
There was a rap battle. I thought it was very well. I thought it went very well.
It did.
For, when we were just talking about when a special segment involving a celebrity can go horribly wrong.
Yes.
Then you have it over here where you have, the first thing, it wasn't centered around the celebrity.
No.
Matter of fact, the segment was announced last week, and
which is a good thing.
They didn't even announce Wale until like a couple days later.
Because honestly, the last time they had a rap battle, the wrestler genuinely showed up the rapper.
Well, that's what happens when you have Flo Rida. But the fun thing is, like, well, okay, Flo Rida's there. Obviously, he's there to collect a check because he has some sort of deal with the devil, WWE.
With WWE.
Whereas Wale is an actual fan. He throws wrestling events, WrestleMania week, like Wale Mania and everything. Like, the guy is all in on it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I just, the way it's set up, clearly, like, both tag teams like had stuff prepared. And I don't know, it felt like as well thought out as a segment like that could be.
As a rap battle segment on a wrestling
show.
But
yet still had like that feeling of spontaneity. Like Wale was basically the one who was kind of ad-libbing.
Right.
You know, he was just kind of reacting to everything.
Well, and it's...
But still keeping the focus on the wrestlers.
It's the kind of thing, like, so when they announce that, you're like, oh, this is a New Day segment. To just do New Day wacky antics.
Right.
Bummer for the Usos to get stuck.
Right.
Having to do the wacky antics.
A lot of people would argue Usos looked stronger in that.
They did really good. They came to play.
Yeah.
And like, I want to say I'm very impressed with them. Like, I'm not unimpressed with New Day, but New Day was doing New Day shtick. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah.
This wasn't them stretching their creative legs. This was
I thought Weenie Doo was pretty creative.
Again, not saying that they weren't good.
Sure, yeah.
They were just right down the middle in their creative wheelhouse.
Right. Yeah. Whereas Usos, this is we're like, I guess we're still used to Uso crazy era.
I was,
you know, even though we've seen them have better matches and have great promos as their current characters.
Yes, but their current characters are not rap battles.
No, not at all. No.
So I was expecting a couple of intentionally weak attempts and then a breakdown into a brawl. So, like, the fact that they came, you know, beat for beat, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, was really impressive. Good for them.
Sure. I, as far as the actual wrestling goes, I don't really have much to talk about.
It was a go-home show.
It was a go-home show. I felt like... Well, I mean, first of all, SmackDown was way better this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really think
as per usual,
but like this week, these past 2 weeks have especially felt like it was a large gap.
I do want to bring up. So John Cena came back this week.
He did.
And he took time at the beginning of his. He came back. He came back top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he took time to kind of address this. Like, people say I'm a part timer now. But I'm here, you line him up, I knock him down.
But he's
a part-timer now.
He is. Well, no, excuse me, he's an all-timer. Ooh. But was there a whole lot of people talking about John Cena after he left after WrestleMania?
No, because he didn't leave a mark on anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like I don't think anyone was really saying... Like, he kept referring to, like, all... Like, oh, I'm... All these people that are talking all this stuff about me. I'm like, who? Like, it came up, you know, in his run previous to him leaving.
Well, like,
ever since he left again until now.
When he started doing that, I was like, oh, this is a feud that started on Twitter and I just didn't pay attention or notice.
Yeah.
And so whoever tweeted that, Dolph Ziggler or whoever, will now come out and then they'll feud.
Yeah.
But I want to address the greater issue of he is a part-timer.
Yes.
And that's okay. And that's fine. And
as much as we complain about Cena a lot of times, he's earned it.
Yes.
He's earned the right to be a part-timer.
He has earned it. He is in the right spot in his career to be a part-timer.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a very good job ensuring that he can continue to be a celebrity, a star, post his, you know.
He's making sure he's still a draw.
Exactly.
But he's not necessarily a draw that WWE has to depend on.
Well, he's not only every week. Not just a draw in wrestling. Like, he's doing really good. He's doing a lot of hard work to build himself a career outside of wrestling.
Sure.
And that's not just, like, I mean, he's doing True movies. Red. He's doing cartoons. He's doing guest appearances. He's also, like, giving him credit where it's due, is really active in, like, Total Bellas kind of stuff. Like, he does a lot. He's a busy dude. But he's not in the ring 52 weeks out of the year now.
Sure, yeah.
Which is fine. That's where he's supposed to be. But I'm assuming he's back for SummerSlam. Like, I'm assuming he's back from now to SummerSlam. Then he'll be gone for a while. He'll come back.
For Mania season.
Mania season. Maybe, like, he might come back for Survivor Series as early as, like, to be in time for Survivor Series. And then stay Survivor Series through Rumble, through Mania.
I don't think he's filmed that other movie, the one about the parents they're trying to stop.
I don't know.
It.
Yeah,
like because I feel like that one was just announced, but I don't think he's actually filmed that yet. So I'm assuming that's probably gonna be later in the year. So yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, he's doing the whole pro USA thing because it's 4th of July, fine,
which is whatever. Fine.
And then it suddenly just John Cena was looking for odds to overcome.
But like
once again,
do we need to, like, pretend that he's back for good every time he comes back?
No. And again, like I said, the way he was framing it, it was like it's like he was trying to find new odds to overcome. And you can't do that when he even got it announced. Because usually, like, honestly, like, I was kind of weirded out by that. Like, the show cold open didn't have any. The show, like, both Raw and SmackDown haven't had pyro in a few weeks now. It's kind of weird. But they're kind of had a cold open, and I was like, okay, well, John Cena's music is about to hit.
Right.
It was the ring announcer, like,
making his return to SmackDown.
Making his return to SmackDown. Please welcome the 16-time champion,
right,
John Cena. Like, you can't try to make yourself an underdog when you're announced as a 16-time champion.
Well, and, like, I get that he has made the last chunk of his career, basically, for the past half a decade, has been about, like, I'm here every day and The Rock isn't, or Brock Lesnar's, or whoever isn't, but I am here every day. And now he's getting to the point where he's not here every day.
Sure.
And, like, he addressed that to some degree on some episode of Talking Smack a while back.
Yeah.
Where he was like, you know, I said that and I was wrong to say that because there comes a time where you got to take care of you so you can do you and be you and strong. And I don't remember what his, I mean, it was gibberish excuse, but it was like a solid ownership of
what he had said in the past.
Oh, I'm not saying, like, I am saying something different now than I did, which, you know, wrestling, where, like, 3 years ago doesn't exist anymore unless somebody retired.
Yeah.
Then I was like, all right, I'm really, really digging that he did that. But now that's like, but I'm here. I don't need that.
Yeah.
And, like, because I know, like, and I know that he will be there. Now that he's here, he's here.
Sure, yeah.
And he'll do the house shows, and he'll do.
Apparently he's can go to whatever.
Yeah, how did he become a free agent?
Out of convenience and needing ratings on Raw.
Didn't, like, SmackDown, he was, like, one of the top 5 draft picks, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, SmackDown wasted a major draft pick on him.
And those are the questions that I don't feel are being asked on Talking Smack. Because if I was Renee Young or Tanae Young, I would be like, hey, Daniel Bryan, this free agent thing with John Cena, what is up with that? And just, like, have some sort of, like, you know, if we're going all in on kayfabe, like, come on. Like,
no, 100%. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, like, did this just slip through your fingers? Did he had a free agency clause? Like, give me some sort of jargon, you know?
Yeah.
Some sort of explanation. Like, give us the explanation that none of us got during the Superstar shakeup, you know, where it wasn't structured or anything. It was just announcing, like, oh,
he's here
so-and-so
now.
Is on this show.
They're
just
there
because
now.
He just appeared on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give us some sort of structure, something. Like, again, lie to us. I don't care.
But I loved that draft so much.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, we're trying to build a brand, and there's, like, strategy.
Right.
It is, like, behind the scenes. It's still fully in kayfabe, but like
sure. But the general manager looked like very official, you know.
I know,
very structured.
It's great. I loved it, and I want more of that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I never liked the draft thing where it's like SmackDown guy versus Raw guy.
Winner
gets a pick.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I get that on a wrestling show where you have to shoehorn some wrestling into your plot, that's right. A great way to do it.
Yeah.
But no, it's like it's that mode, the GM mode in the game.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I got to strategize. Who can I spend my points on?
Absolutely. But also staying on SmackDown. We'll talk about Raw stuff when we get to the card.
Right.
But another... I guess I wasn't really surprised, but I like that we got the AJ Styles versus Chad Gable match.
Yeah,
it really showcased, and it really makes you wonder if they're making American, if they're splitting American Alpha.
It's the year of tag team destruction, so like,
but clearly, like they're like if they're doing it, very softly because
mm-hmm.
Jason Jordan was in the
Rumble,
the Battle Royal.
That's
yeah.
what it's called.
And then Chad Gable's had like a spotlight on these last 2 weeks, as he should have, because that was amazing. That was an amazing match for the relatively short, you know, amount of time they were given.
Right.
Because that's one of the things that's always, it's always surprising to me on how good of a match some of these wrestlers can have with such short time.
Because
usually, like, we're almost always in the camp of, the longer the better, especially with the bigger matches, like the main event matches. Yeah.
Not necessarily the longer the better,
right.
But you need to be willing to give the time
right.
to get the match.
And I don't know what the official time was for this match or anything, but it definitely was not like, you know, pay-per-view match length or anything.
Right.
But you made both guys look strong,
mm-hmm.
you know, where AJ's kind of getting the edge because he is the veteran who with all this experience, you know, and Gable has like this monster of ability.
Right.
So I thought this was a really good way to help Chad get over where they're going with this. If they even have a direction for this, I don't know. But I'm just glad that they're doing so. Now we'll see what they could do with Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
You know? Because Jason Jordan, who's always, you know, even on when they were talking about Breaking Ground, I think, is when they were featured. Jason Jordan was floundering in FCW and NXT for so long. And then Chad Gable came along, and all of a sudden he found that...
That clicked.
That X factor for him. And now that he's found it with Chad Gable, now I'm guessing they're going to go separate ways. Can he still hold on to it? Because Lord knows, you know, Chad Gable has all this ability... Jason Jordan's really impressive too, like super impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would hate for him to get lost in the shuffle, but I don't know. Personality wise, I felt like Jason Jordan was the stronger of the two.
Yeah.
So Chad Gable getting all of this attention, I maybe he can play more. He could definitely play more of an underdog role given his, you know, smaller height. It's kind of hard for a Hulk like Jason Jordan to be an underdog, but then again,
yeah,
look at John Cena. doesn't mean they'll try. But yeah, that was a huge plus for that. And you know, AJ still looked great. Still kind of, you know, still came through on the Battle Royal later on, without doing much. So like that kind of played into that storyline. I'm glad they kind of kept that consistency.
Yeah.
So, beyond that, was there any other non-Raw stuff?
NXT had a NXT title match on it this week.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet, but I mean, I know the outcome of it.
I mean, yeah, like, if it was a different outcome, you would
sure.
have heard.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, not to throw the spoilers down. Did I miss an official statement that, like, they're going to have a championship match each week? For like
no, there was not anything official. It's just the way they booked it.
Because it was women's last week, main title this week, and I think the tag teams are being defended
yeah,
next week
against Heavy Machinery.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of their way of because I don't think they've got another NXT special until
I don't think they do
until Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So maybe this is kind of their way to. Kind of, I don't want to say kill time, but, you know, make their shows entertaining until they mm-hmm. have to start building for
yeah.
for Brooklyn.
So we were watching it. I was watching it. Heather was in and out and stuff. And so, but the match started. She's like, the match is starting. They're doing the match like halfway through the show. And like, no, it's an hour show.
Yeah.
But it really got me thinking, is like, NXT is to the point, talent-wise and roster-wise, that they might could handle a two-hour show.
Yeah. Because you run into that issue where a lot of your big-name stars aren't really getting on the show every week, or every other week, for that matter.
Right.
Like, I don't want to spoil anything, but they've got big plans for Drew McIntyre, and he hasn't been on the show since... probably before the last NXT special.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen,
you know,
the video package of him. He's had a couple of like backstage interviews, but that's a very, very, very tricky, very dangerous thing to tread in, because
it would make the NXT tapings incredibly long.
Mm-hmm.
Or they wouldn't be able
they would not be able to do as much.
Right. Because I think they do like 3-4 episodes in a night.
Yeah.
Which seems absurd.
Well, I mean, if you're doing hour-long episodes, doing 3 episodes a night, that's a show of Raw.
I do want to ask you, did you get a chance to watch the main event from last week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you watch that whole episode?
I just watched the main event.
Okay, cool. Because that was fantastic. And it was probably, like, I think Q's the one that said that was the stiffest women's match he's ever seen, especially in WWE. And no, he's absolutely right in that. But earlier in that episode was also Hideo Itami and Oney Lorcan just beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
I don't know where that feud... I don't know where this feud's going. Apparently it's going nowhere because Ono came out and they kind of faced off because, you know, they bumped heads. And then freaking Sanity. So there's another guy that we liked is going to be entangled with Sanity for way too long.
You're just not into the Sanity thing, are you?
There's nothing to it. Like, there's not enough. There's no meat to it.
So to me, Sanity reads almost like NWO fan fiction.
Yeah,
we're like, because it feels like, and you think about like the age of the writers on NXT, and like they probably loved growing up with NWO, and like have how they would book NWO, and this is kind of their booking of this very large power group.
This NWO steampunk, because NWO had all those different, you know, branches.
Yeah.
So this is like the other, like the steampunk branch.
Well, so it's a group that it was like 3 people to start with.
Borderlands branch, yeah.
It was 3 people to start with, then they got a girl, and then they got like...
Then one guy got injured, and then they brought in Killian Dane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of see it, like, growing and encompassing. And, you know, Sanity as a group is starting to be able to have feuds with multiple people.
Sure.
Because there's enough of Sanity. And so...
But they just come out and attack people. And they're like, okay, well, what's the feud now? They attacked me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sanity, what's your retort? Join us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, that's been their feud since Ty Dillinger, and that lasted way too long. And then they switched over for a few weeks to Roderick Strong. That went on too long. Like, it didn't go nearly as long as Ty Dillinger, but it still went on for too long. It seems like they're having the same feuds with different people, and that's causing a lot of Sanity fatigue, you know? Because I have a feeling they're just going to have the same feud with Ono and Hideo, except now the twist is Hideo and Ono haven't been getting along. So what's going to happen there? I don't know.
Every
time Sanity comes out, it feels like a chore. That's what I'm saying.
All right. I don't mind Sanity. Partially because, well, like, take this Hideo and Ono thing going on. I'm assuming that they are going to, that's the feud. They're not getting along. Something's going to happen where somebody blames somebody for something else or turns on somebody. And that's the feud. Sanity's just the generic heel to, you know, prop up the story until we can get
Hideo versus
Ono proper. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the only part of Sanity that is just worth anything is what's her name? I can't think of her name right now. The one that was in the match against Asuka.
Yeah.
She's really she's the bright spot.
She is.
I mean, granted, Killian Dane actually looked pretty good at TakeOver before Mania, and then when he was the surprise, well, I was surprised in the Andre, he looked really good in the Andre.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't really been a whole lot about him. So we'll see. I don't know. They haven't really done much in my eyes with Sanity, except for the same thing week in, week out.
They have not. I think that, and again, like it feels like whoever is behind this creatively, writers wise, wants to make the mega faction,
sure.
not the you know, three guys, not the four guys. Like, they want the 28 guys.
Yeah.
That NWO was, or I don't know what Aces of Eights is literally the only other example I can think of.
Yeah.
But and then like. I don't want to say, like, you can't do the mega faction. It doesn't work, even though your two biggest examples in the world are things that got too big and devoured their own young, basically.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, like, we don't want to say that it can't work because, you know, in wrestling, anything is possible. And I'm sure somebody could probably find a way to make
it work.
Like,
when NWO worked, it worked better than anything in the history of anything.
Sure.
It just got too big and ate its own young.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And so I feel like that is the dream, is to pull that off successfully, the mega faction.
Yeah, I agree.
They haven't been unsuccessful yet. We'll have yet to see if they're successful.
Haven't found a winning formula for them yet.
So,
All right, so now we're going to get into the... Great Balls of Fire.
At long last.
Long last, here we are.
I feel like we've been talking about the title of this pay-per-view for a year now.
Goodness effing gracious. We start off with the kickoff match, which is Akira Tozawa versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. Why?
So, let me say this. It felt like it was so certain it had to be Austin Aries. In the 27 pay-per-view matches that those guys had against each other, I kept being like, this is the one. This is where Austin Aries gets it. But that never happened, and so now I kind of want to be like, well, it's Neville until I'm proven wrong.
Right.
Is the smart choice. But WWE seems so weirdly enamored with this...
But not enamored...
With this Titus O'Neil.
Right, but not enamored enough to put it on the main show. Like, no. That's what I'm more mad about.
No, of course it's not going to be on the main show. It's 205 Live.
Right. And they wonder why that show isn't getting over. I'm interested in it, because I never know week to week what Titus is. Is he a face or a heel? Like, he'll have heel qualities, but he'll give like a face promo or react to something as a face would, and it makes us like not know what Apollo is. We not know what Tozawa like. Well, Tozawa's been
set up. Tozawa's clearly a face.
Yeah, so we just I don't know. There's a lot that's just. That's unclear about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to stick with Neville.
I'm sticking with Neville as well.
Because I do think, like, Neville's the smart choice until I'm proven wrong at this point.
Yeah.
But it's just, it feels like if Tozawa wins, it's because WWE is more charmed with the Titus O'Neil manager concept than they are with Tozawa's actual ending
ability. And I don't think that's just being... intrigued by this Titus thing, I don't think that's reason enough to take the belt off of Neville, because as soon as they do, they're not going to know what to do with Tozawa at that point, and he deserves better than this. So, maybe in the future, but not yet, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
We're going to move on to the tag team championship match. Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Hardys in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I've... I mean, I don't want to say that it's never been done, but I have never seen a Iron Man tag match.
Are they both legal, or is it still tag rules?
Yeah, is it traditional tag or tornado? I don't know. I would assume traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see.
I want to give this one to the Hardys.
Yeah, because really it comes down to... Well, okay, I think it's easier for them to end this feud if Cesaro and Sheamus find some way to win.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling they probably have bigger plans for the Hardys for SummerSlam. Because that, like, because ultimately, like, this pay-per-view is one of those things where it's just, it's like, they want to make it a big deal, but you have an eye towards SummerSlam.
SummerSlam's next.
Right. I don't know what would be a bigger thing for the Hardys.
I mean, Matt versus Jeff is the big thing, is the thing we're all just kind of sitting twiddling
our thumbs
waiting
for. Yeah, I don't think they would probably want to build that up more by this point.
Mm-hmm. That also feels like a Mania thing.
Well, they did that at Mania, and it wasn't great.
Yo, like, that's the thing that stops them.
True. No, you're right. I don't know. I want to still stick with Cesaro and Sheamus.
All right.
Yeah.
Iron Man matches just feel like come from behind victories for faces to me.
Sure. Yeah, or you get a heel that can do like a shenanigans pin right at the end, just kind of sneak one out, you know.
That's possible.
We got the Intercontinental Championship, Miz versus Dean Ambrose. I'm gonna say they stick with a hot hand. They stick with Miz.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Miz on this one.
Yeah, Dean hasn't really done a whole lot to. I don't know.
I love Dean.
Yeah.
I love Miz. I want great things for the Intercontinental Championship title. Like that, I want that to be built up as an honorable thing. But like these three elements somehow drag each other down so badly.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if one of these guys switched out for somebody else, I'd be more interested. Or if they were feuding not over this title,
yeah,
I would be more interested. But for some reason, these three elements, Dean, Miz, and the Intercontinental, just feel so mid-card, so time-filler.
Yeah. Also, Dean badmouthed the name of the pay-per-view on commentary, and I don't think they're going to reward that. So that only just kind of fueled my prediction.
All right.
Not saying they actually would, but I wouldn't put it past them because they did, you know, suspend Titus for just pulling on Vince McMahon's arm. Next, we have the Enzo versus Cass singles match. Cass is going to win.
Cass is going to win.
But this does give me an opportunity to talk about Enzo's promo to open up Raw. I thought that was a great way to open the show.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, it just happened. You know, he just came out, his music hit, he hit the promo, and I thought for a guy who's, all you know, he usually hits with his promos most of the time. Mm-hmm. This one was especially good for him, and I really liked it. Like it felt like a special promo, you know. Like yeah. You know how you got that feeling during that like the Usos promo a month or so ago that had everybody like
finally
paying attention to them. It kind of felt like that. Like you kind of got that feeling.
Well, you almost like. I know this is in the grand scheme of things a relatively new tag team, but like
yeah.
Especially on the main show. But having followed them for seemingly a very long time,
mm-hmm.
I kind of hate that their meetup is happening on Great Balls of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's such a waste of, like, it's a, you know.
Yeah. Considering, you know, they're making it, you know, a big part of, like, a big chunk of the show. Like, they dedicated a main event to it, to the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
They've started the show, I believe, the last 2 weeks.
I think 2 weeks in a row, yeah.
Yeah, because I think last week was the one where he launched Enzo down the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're putting a lot of steam behind this. So, yeah, it is kind of a shame that it's happening here.
Yeah.
And, you know, GBOF. Now we got, I forgot this match was happening, and I kind of don't care. Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt. Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
He's the cover boy. Bray can't win a match on a pay-per-view, apparently. Why in the world they take, you know, Bray Wyatt off of SmackDown for this? I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's effing stupid. Yeah, like, I have nothing really to say about either guy. Like, if we want to be completely brutally honest, you know, because I haven't really been able to watch Raw live the last couple of weeks. Like, kind of been on delay because of work and everything. Yeah, I've been skipping through a lot of a good chunk of Seth versus Bray because it's the same thing over and over again.
Well, Bray has worn out his mystery charm.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
The whole fall of the buzzards, the whole a reckoning is coming.
Yeah.
You're dead, like all that. Nothing has come of it. To the point where it's like, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that,
yeah,
his promo seem extra generic. Like you're just swapping out Seth Rollins' name for Randy Orton's name.
Sure, yeah.
And you're just like, okay.
You're right. And
I don't know how you promo against that.
Yeah.
Like
without sounding
everybody's doing a terrible job.
Yeah.
But I can't say like this is the thing you're missing.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that Seth isn't hitting as a face as he should. You know, like something just isn't clicking.
No. And you like know?
And I used to roll my eyes at people that say, because I always felt like, you know, it's too soon, like, because he kept getting hurt. So it's like, I felt like we didn't have a good sample size to go off of, you know, but now we kind of do, and it's kind of not working.
Well, he worked great against Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that.
But that's like, was that because he's good at being a face, or was that because we specifically wanted to see the vengeance of Triple H's betrayal?
We wanted to finally see this payoff because it's been going since the day or that one match after SummerSlam last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of finally waiting for that payoff. So anything beyond that, because this entire feud with Bray Wyatt just feels like everyone involved is treading water.
Yeah.
You know? And
no, it feels like, oh, can't have a card without these names on it.
Right. Yeah.
So we've already drawn the poster. So
where SmackDown was just like, okay, well, we'll have them off the card, but we'll have them up here soon, and we'll have something for them soon.
Yeah.
You know, and which, you know, that's got to suck to not, you know, be involved in things, but it'll probably pay off later on, or at least you have faith that it will.
Yeah.
I hope it will for Ty Dillinger. He was in the Battle Royal, so, yeah, all right. Now we got the Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. I don't know. Usually I would be like, you know, it's going to Sasha Banks, especially going to a big pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone seems to really like, you know, Alexa Bliss's champ, aside from the one, you know, Bailey, this is your life hiccup. I don't know. Because it would be nice to finally, it would be nice to kind of get the payoff with her versus Nia Jax. And I can't believe I'm saying that, you know?
Yeah.
But Nia Jax, I did a really great job in that gauntlet match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of got an unsatisfactory end to her championship match a few weeks before that. So it's like, I feel like that's kind of like one of those like Kevin Owens loose end, you know, feuds that he just were left open, like whenever he left NXT.
Because he had 26 feuds going on at the
right.
same time.
So it kind of feels like that. Like it's one of those loose ends where like, all right, so any moment they're going to tie it, right? Because they had them tagging together, her and Nia Jax, this past week.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, maybe she's going to turn on her, or maybe Nia is going to do something in this match. I don't know.
I'm going to end up going with Sasha.
Yeah.
A couple reasons. One, there's a championship match we haven't gotten to where the title won't change hands.
Yeah.
So
you've got that.
To balance out the card, get some title changing. Also,
and plus, I could see them getting more infatuated with a bigger name as champion going into SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what would be the case
with
Sasha Banks.
Well, if Sasha Banks doesn't win this one, Sasha Banks isn't in the SummerSlam picture, theoretically.
Theoretically, yeah.
She does win this one. You can easily do a rematch if you want to do this match again, which will have legs to it.
Yeah.
Or you can bring somebody else, or you can do a triple threat. Like, you have a lot more options.
Sure, I have a feeling SummerSlam is going to be a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
It's going to be Sasha, Bayley, Alexa, and Nia
Jax.
But as who's champion, I'll probably go with you on this.
Okay.
For Sasha Banks, just because it feels like, even though she's a challenger, it feels like it's the safer bet.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the ambulance match, Roman versus Strowman. I'm assuming, and this, I guess, this will pretty much, you know, telegraph my pick for the main event. I'm assuming they're sticking with the plan, the original plan for SummerSlam, which was Braun versus Brock for the Universal at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, would it make sense? It would make sense for Braun to win this match.
Yes, it would.
To set up, because like, even in like the just the weird storyline loopholes that WWE likes to utilize sometimes, even then, it would be hard for them to
justify. You just lost a match. Here's right. The number one contendership.
And, you know, you had a few weeks ago Roman coming out and brazenly, you know, declaring himself the number one contender for SummerSlam. You know, so the storyline kind of writes itself where Braun's like, well, I beat him, shows up on the next Monday Night Raw, and like, I beat the guy who declared himself number one contender, so that means I'm the number one contender now, right? You know? So, I feel it's an ambulance match, so you can still...
He's not getting pinned.
You can still hashtag make Roman look strong.
Yeah, you can trip up his feet, whatever you want to do to make it.
And then have Roman in some sort of weird squash match. I don't know.
I will go Strowman on this one.
Yeah, I'm going Strowman as well. So going out to the main event, which is Joe versus Brock.
Can we just
maybe Joe and Roman can face off against each other in SummerSlam?
Can we just take a moment to acknowledge what a good idea it would be for Samoa Joe to win this match?
Oh, sure.
You get the title back on the show on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Joe is an instant top tier guy.
Yeah. He's proven that. If there were any WWE officials that had any doubt, those doubts have been squashed.
No, but I'm saying
this last month.
I'm saying like, because I'm worried that what's going to happen is 4 to 6 to 8 months from now, Joe's back in the chauffeur bodyguard,
right,
beating up people,
or the like, you know, the treading water pattern mm-hmm. he was in a couple months ago,
right? And I think just a beating of Brock Lesnar at this, you immediately have like this instant credibility that will be hard to shake.
Yeah.
Because he will have been one of a very small handful of guys who has beaten Brock Lesnar. It works. It'd be great. It makes so much sense. You have reasons for Brock Lesnar to come right back at SummerSlam, which I'm assuming they'll do to get that draw for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And you can have a rematch there. It's such a smart thing to do. That's not going to happen. It's 100% going to be Brock Lesnar winning this
match. Yeah, absolutely. Weird thing, because we had just talked about how, you know, especially in the Bray versus Seth match, that it feels like, well, we can't have the show without these names on it,
mm-hmm.
without the these names on the card. And yet, Finn Balor's not on the card anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it seems like they've talked about treading water. Like, they haven't done anything with him since.
No.
Since he's come back, like, yeah, he was involved in the main event at the last pay-per-view with the Fatal 4-Way. But he hasn't really had any feuds.
In all genuine fairness, the show moved on without Finn while he was gone.
Right. And it's like they're trying to find a place for him now. I don't know. I think he might be better off on SmackDown.
I mean, he you would know? Be in the way that everybody would be better off on SmackDown
sure.
at this point.
But it seems like it was such a, it felt like such the right move to go ahead and have him face off against Brock,
mm-hmm.
you know, before Great Balls, you know?
Yeah.
Because, sorry, shell out some extra money and have Brock show up on another pay-per-view, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of taking like 4 months off or however long it's been. It's been 3, but still. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this. You know, because otherwise, what's the point in bringing him back? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? Like, just to get that, you know, day after WrestleMania pop, you know? Because we kind of had that feeling with Nakamura. Like, Nakamura, they brought him in the first SmackDown after WrestleMania and didn't wrestle for a month and a half.
Right.
Or however long it was for their next pay-per-view. And so it almost reached the point where it's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
So I'm really asking that question now. He's still getting a great reaction from the crowd, and I guess a lot of that has to do with his entrance,
but
still.
That's a constant recurring issue, is that plans aren't made after initial returns. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have a guy like, hey, this guy...
Boy, that felt, I felt like that with Rusev coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When guys are ready to come back, hey, we're cleared, I can start working this Monday, this Tuesday, whatever.
Yeah.
You need, okay, you're going to work with this guy for these next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
This is your role in the next pay-per-view. And then, depending on how that goes, you will... 3 months from now, be in this feud or that feud.
Yeah.
And like, I know you got a lot of guys. I know you got a lot of moving parts. I know stuff changes on an hourly basis practically over there. But you gotta have plans for guys.
Yeah.
So many of these things feel like, and like the thing with Seth and Bray Wyatt, where you're like, well, Seth's major star, we got to have him on the pay-per-view, and they reach in the toy box and a Bray Wyatt toy came out.
Sure,
so that's
yeah.
who he's fighting now.
Because I have a feeling the next one is going to be Bray and probably Finn at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll, I mean, also from top to bottom, I will say the card for this is better than the last Raw paper was.
It is not a bad card.
Rules.
Yeah, it is not a bad card. There's a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
There's not so many matches that I'm looking forward to, but those like sequence in matches. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in a Strowman Roman Reigns ambulance match.
Yeah, and again,
like I'm not necessarily saying I'm gonna be looking
the majority
for the match,
of, and it's one of those things where, like, for once, the majority of the enthusiasm of a pay per view is the main event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which feels weird now almost. You know, you'll get a SmackDown pay per view where you're really excited about the main event or something, or curious about it. This is the first time in a while where I'm like, the main event is going to be the main event, you know, for once. They don't have to, you know, go through, you know, some weird, you know, oh, we've got three main events. I'm like, no, you don't.
No.
You know, this one actually feels like the main event, feels like a big deal, and the fans seem universally excited.
To agree, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird that they can pull that off on all these other babies for WrestleMania. They just trip over their own feet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm excited, and I'm interested to see what happens.
I am, too.
You have anything that's making you happy this week?
Making me happy this week? Mostly the house stuff.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know, they assume most people at this point, I did move into a new house.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much junk.
Yeah, you really do.
Holy cow, like...
Yeah.
Well, then the part of it was like, you know... For 2 years, it'd be like, oh, people are coming over. All the junk goes in the closet.
Sure, yeah.
And people leave and be like, this place looks awesome.
Right, yeah.
And so then the closet came out and just like Narnia'd out. And I was like, kept coming and coming and going, what is this?
It's like the closet one was made out of that same like clown cart material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
But no, yeah, that's it. Going through stuff. What's making you happy?
Seeing you there, buddy. I saw your production of the producers.
Yes.
And I was thoroughly impressed, you know, yes, by you. And but like the cast, like I feel like from top, like from as far as like the main cast, that main core group, cast pretty amazingly. Like it came together really well.
Came together incredibly well.
Like it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit like, kind of like, cautious optimism about it because it's one of my favorite musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I fully believe you're, you know, in the perfect part for this. And I was excited for you because this, you know, you're in a lead. So obviously I'm going to be excited for you, but it's like, I don't know what to expect, you know, but then I saw it and you guys pulled it together incredibly well.
So I think it came out as a really good show.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Which is because producers aren't exactly a show that you see get performed a lot, you know, off Broadway or in North Carolina, you know, or anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, made me want to go home and put the DVD on.
Well, good. I appreciate it. Yes, that's what it's supposed to do. That means it did good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, or really bad.
Or really bad is like, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. Let me go
wash it out of my brain.
Let's go watch the professionals do it.
So, but no, it was really good, and so I am still, I fully admit, like 100% in recovery mode.
Sure,
for that thing.
Yeah, which is funny because now you're hopping like unexpectedly into another one.
Yes,
yeah.
I am. But yeah, like that's because you'll have one like every now and then, like it just takes out. I mean, this one 100% took it out.
Absolutely.
Of me. So,
all right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays. We've done it on Wednesday before because that's when NXT is, and
yep.
Sundays, including this Sunday yep. when we'll be doing Great Balls of Fire. So join us over there.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send all that to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Interact with it. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that just kind of helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook.
Yes, that's the thing.
Making sure I was like, are we at Facebook already? We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.